There's a whole lot of things I want to tell you about. Adventures, dangerous and queer. Some you could guess, and some I've only hinted at. So please lend me your ear.
Everyone has a relationship with gender. What's your story? Hello and welcome to Gender Stories with your host, Dr. Alex Yantafi.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Gender Stories. I know I always say I'm excited. It's because I generally am excited every time. And today I am very honored and excited to be introducing Aidan Dowling. Aidan is the co-founder and CEO of Trace. He has been a transgender activist and influencer for more than 12 years and has been featured on the Ellen DeGeneres show as well as on the cover of Men's Health. As the founder of Point of Pride, a global nonprofit that has generated over $2.5 million in aid for the trans community, Aidan is committed to equity and access to medical and wellness care for the most vulnerable members of the transgender and non-binary community. Welcome, Aidan. Thank you so much for making time for Gender Stories.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Alex. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's so exciting. You know, I do remember, like, you being on Ellen's show and on the cover of Men's Health, because I am old, actually, even remember. I was still living in the UK when we all gathered in a pub to see, you know, Ellen's coming out episode when she was still doing a sitcom, you know.
Yep.
And so, you know, you have been really kind of part of the milestones, I would say, of trans history in the U.S. Let's start from there. What's that like to have this level of visibility as a trans person for you? Mm.
Yeah, I also remember Ellen's coming out on, like, the TV show she had, right? It was
yes.
called, like, Ellen or something.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Something
it's been
like
a
that.
While.
Yes. Yeah, it was, like, a camp episode or something where she's camping. I don't know. But I have not super vivid, but just like some faint memories of when that happened, because it was such like a monumental.
It was a big deal.
Big, huge mm-hmm. deal. And so, you know, what is it like? I mean, it's a whirlwind, really. Things happen quick. And it's been a pleasure and an honor and, you know, lots of responsibility as well. Lots of eye-opening moments also of just, you know, of learning and relearning and privilege and, you know, recognizing, you know, what do you do when you have access and how do you manage that access? You know, and so it's been awesome. Like there's always complaints. I mean, who doesn't complain in
right?
some capacity, but I would say overall, like there's, you know, I'm very grateful for the opportunities that I have, you know, I've had in my life and, you know, continue to try my best to give opportunities to other people. Whether that's successful, I mean, I'm not counting, but it's an attempt, that's for sure.
I mean, what else can we do, right? We do our best and hopefully our intentions land well. And often that is all we can do. And I mean, you have done a lot for trans community and you do a lot. I know you are really active with like fundraising. You know, there's kind of Point of Pride and also mm-hmm. there is kind of Trace that I definitely want to talk about. But let's talk about the fundraising for a bit since we're mm-hmm. talking about that for a moment. Tell me a little bit about why you started Point of Pride. Kind of, I don't know if kind of leveraging that visibility was part of it or, yeah, tell me a little bit more about your intention with Point of Pride and what you're hoping for and what you would like listeners to know about.
Yeah, thanks. So Point of Pride was accidental, if I'm being honest.
Oh, yeah, I know that feeling. I've done a lot. I've started the whole practice accidentally, so it's
yeah.
all good.
So Point of Pride was started, so I came out to myself very early 2009. I chose not to medically transition, but I then decided to medically transition. So within that year was a lot going on. And so I started HRT in late 2009. And then in, you know, two or so years from then, I really wanted top surgery. Mm-hmm. And so I tried many things. I started like working extra hours at my job. I started like asking people like, can I mow your lawn? Like, mm-hmm. you know, like when you were 17. For context, yeah. I came out when I was 21. So, I was in my early 20s. I started, you know, selling cupcakes and like yeah. bake sale type stuff. I was a cake decorator at the time. I was like, how can I make extra cash? Mm-hmm. And, I decided to make a t-shirt with it was like a Superman symbol with a T in the middle. And mm-hmm. at that time, of course I did not invent the screen printed t-shirt. No claims to that. But at that time, people didn't really make t-shirts. It wasn't really a thing.
Oh, that's real. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That people did. Mm-hmm. there were some shirts out there. So like one very popular shirt at the time was Gay is Okay. That was yes. You recall?
I've got one of those.
Oh, see, there you go. It's like circa 2007, right?
Yeah.
And what I saw in the world was like a lot of pride coming up. You know, this was right, you know, this was the early 2000s. So, you know, we had a large gay movement happen in the, you know, leading up to the 90s. And we had the HIV and AIDS crisis, which is still a crisis, but, you know, it really started, becoming shown into the light into the 90s, which is the time I grew up in. I yeah. was born in 87. And so in the early 2000s, we were fighting for gay marriage and yep. there was a lot of pride in being mm-hmm. gay.
Yep.
And I also identified as a lesbian. I had a lot of pride in my lesbianness. You might say that you could tell I was a lesbian. I mean, you know, some people might say that. And so I didn't see any pride in being transgender. Like mm-hmm. the pride I saw in the trans community was not there. It was more of like shaming. It was like you want to transition and then fade out into the,
yep.
you know, blend in with society and no one needs, you have to destroy every photo you've ever had.
Yep.
No one can know your name, like all of these things, which was mostly about safety, I will definitely say.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you know, I'm going to make this t-shirt. It's good. I'm going to sell it on the internet. See if I can yeah. make some money. So I bought the screen printing kit on sale for like $200 flat. I went to Walmart, would buy a $3 t-shirt. I'd sell it for $20. I'd ship it for like $4 or whatever. And I would keep whatever the change was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did this over and over and over until I raised the money for my top surgery, which at the mm-hmm. time was half of what it is now. It was $5,900.
Mm-hmm.
And on average, a top surgery is around the $12,000 mark.
Yeah.
So it has doubled in
absolutely
10 years. And so I was so like lucky that I had started building a platform and sharing my story on YouTube. And that's when people would buy the t-shirt. And it was just so beautiful to like see, you know, all this support from people I didn't know. I didn't know these people, but they
yeah.
were buying my shirts and supporting me. And so when I raised the money and I got my top surgery, people were like, oh, are you going to stop selling the shirts? Cause I wanted one. And I was like, sure. Like I'll sell the shirts. Great.
Mm-hmm.
So I continued to sell the shirts, but I always knew that I wanted to give a portion of the money that I made back to somebody else because mm-hmm. that's how it started, right? It wasn't made to build a profit. It was made to help with my, you know, my personal, you know, gender transition.
Yeah.
And so, so like the first year, I mean, I didn't make crazy money off of this business either. The first year I gave away like $800. The second year was like $1,000 or $1,200, which was just like felt awesome. And by the third year, I had started collecting old binders that people mm-hmm. stopped using because they got their top surgery.
Yeah.
And I started shipping them with a shirt for free. So it was like, and at the time, luckily binder prices have gone down, but at the time a binder was like $60.
Oh yeah. Very expensive. I had like two and yeah.
Yeah. And they were like crappy. They were like underwear.
It was so terrible.
It was miserable.
It was. Yeah.
It was so bad. And I'm so happy that people don't have to go through that. Like, please.
Same.
It's not a story of like, we had it worse, so it was harder for us. It's more like, I'm so glad that you have what you need.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, so I just, what I saw at the time where people would burn their binders. Mm-hmm. That was like a tradition, which I could get behind, like light it in flames, you know? But what I also saw in having built this community and meeting all of these people were all of these people who couldn't afford a binder. And so, you know, they're wearing like two extra, extra, extra large sweatshirts to just hide their bodies. And so I put a call out to say, like, listen, you get your top surgery. That's beautiful. You should mail me your binder. I will give it away for free. The only cost is that the person who gets the binder has to buy a t-shirt, but then a portion of those funds from the t-shirt go to someone else's surgery.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
It was like a reciprocal relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you can't afford a $60 binder, but maybe you can afford a $17 or $20 t-shirt.
Yeah.
And my buddy Jeff, who's the co-founder alongside me of Point of Pride, he was helping me at the time. I had met him, you know, through the grapevine. Mm-hmm. He was helping me build the website, just kind of, you know, wanting to be connected to the community in some way. And we missed an opportunity because a company wanted to give us $5,000. And we were like, whoa, $5,000. Okay. But we weren't a nonprofit. Yeah. And so Jeff and I were just like, you know, we never made money anyway. If this was a for-profit, we are really bad at it. we fail entrepreneurship as a for-profit. But as a nonprofit, this is actually pretty good. Like we've got.
You're doing great.
Yeah. Like we've got a sustainable way to make funds. Mm-hmm. We've got pretty much two programs that weren't programs. We've got a binder program and a surgery fund program. And like, let's just do this. So we took and, you know, we dived in and, you know, together we turned in from a for-profit to a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the history and where we started, which was just like me as a trans person, Jeff as a trans person, just understanding what it is, having, you know, the ability to have a reach. Right. And Jeff like went to college and was really good at building websites. So he had his own, you know, mm-hmm. skills to offer. And we just started doing the thing, you know, and over time, each year as the board grew, we like got a little more like, oh, well, maybe we could, mm-hmm. maybe we could start this program and maybe we can do this thing. And, oh, well, you know, we're getting funding from here. Maybe we should see how else we can do this. And so mm-hmm. really continuing on from there to build out what we have now, which is we're definitely still grassroots. We've only got two paid employees, but I'm really proud of.
That's pretty good for a nonprofit,
right?
Having been in the nonprofit world. Yeah.
Right. And like two trans folks. So that's the, how we birthed it. Just out of our own need, you know, mm-hmm. which is where I think everyone on the board is trans or non-binary identifying. And I think that just gives you an insight. Like, yes, our stories are not the same. Yes, we are all unique individuals. We have our own other intersectionalities and layers mm-hmm. of classism and race and, you know, privilege that are layered on top of it. But there's that one thread through all of us that we can understand each other on, you know? And so it's been really awesome. It's been very organic and super, super cool to see happen over the last, you know, like 10 years or so now.
That's beautiful. And yeah, I hear you, because I think having been on nonprofit boards for a long time on and off, being on a board that's all trans and or non-binary people is very different than being like, either the only or maybe one of a couple of trans people on a larger LGBTQ board, for example. And we know that kind of funds are already so scarce for LGBTQ to spirit plus populations. And then when you kind of go into like trans folks, it gets even smaller, mm-hmm. that slice of the pie. So I think that, you know, nonprofits like Point of Pride do really useful work in the world, because I don't think people understand that it's actually really hard to access funds still for a lot of people. I was really lucky that my You know, top surgery was covered by my insurance and my work. But even now, if I was still in the same job, their benefits have actually changed. So I would have to pay 20%. Whereas at the time, I literally didn't pay anything for my medical intervention, which is incredible, right?
Amazing.
But, yeah, but then really amazing. Motivated me to want to go give back.
I think a lot, you know, a statistic that that I've learned in the last 2 years is that for every $100 given to LGBT foundations or nonprofits, mm-hmm. only 4 cents go to trans-led nonprofits.
Right? It's nothing. It's so inequitable.
Imagine if like you, if you got 4 cents and I got $99.96.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're equal. We're good.
Right.
We do you. Right.
But so proud. Yeah.
Right. When I learned that stat, I was just like taken back, you know, and it's cool to see a lot of LGBTQ nonprofits kind of stepping up.
Yeah.
In the T, you know, aspect, but it's, you know, it's still not, it's just, it's, as we were saying, it can be different when you have the experience or a parallel experience to the people you're serving.
Absolutely. I think you want, like you said, even with all the differences, there's a different kind of understanding, you know, and having been to a lot of bake sales and art sales and, you know, drag shows and fundraisers, you know, so many fundraisers, right, in the 2000s before, you know, now we have GoFundMe and people do a lot of online fundraising. But it was very much like, you know, yard sales and garage sales and baking things and showing up for each other, you know, and we weren't talking about mutual aid at the time. But in a way, that's what we were doing as trans folks. I know I was like attended and gave because I felt this immense privilege of having had a job that covered kind of my top surgery back in like 2010 and then being able to kind of show up and give back because so many people didn't have gender inclusive and still don't have gender inclusive benefits or the out-of-pocket deductibles are, you know, just too high. It's just still such a need, like you said. And yeah, 4 cents out of 100, right? Let's just really say it again, how inequitable that is, right? Yeah. It's incredibly inequitable. So talking about that lack of equity, I think, you know, you have kept kind of showing up and doing things for the community. It sounds to me like you're pretty committed to kind of supporting the community in some way. And your most recent kind of initiative to support the community is Trace. So if you feel happy to kind of talk about Trace a little bit as well. And so for those folks who are listening and don't know what Trace is, which is an app, can you tell a bit more about how this idea was born and why you decided to kind of pivot in that direction rather than just like stay with Keep Growing Point of Pride, for example, and just,
So TRACE is an acronym because why not, right? We love acronyms.
We do love a good acronym in trans community. That's real.
Love a good acronym. So it stands for Transition Recording and Community Engagement. And so that's where the name came from. It was first thought of back in July of 2019 was our first meeting. We have three co-founders, but initially it was just myself and another co-founder, Elizabeth. And she is a cis ally, and her and I were friends, you know, building a friendship. Mm-hmm. And she has a really great UX, UI background, and she's very committed to being an ally and was like, I can do something, but, you know, what can I do? Like, I have this skill. She's, you know, very accomplished in that field, and respected. And she's like, how can I give back? Like, there's got to be something, you know, she was active, but something more passionate that she wanted to get behind. And, I was like, well, you know, I had that clothing company I was talking about that I had thought about doing reminders for your shot day. Like, so coming from like a trans masculine perspective, right? I was like, what if I built a reminder? This was back in the day. I was like, what if I built a reminder for your shot day and it just reminded you to do your shot, but you could also buy t-shirts from the app. I was like, that's brilliant. But I met with an app designer and everything, and he's like, this will cost about $100,000. And I was like, I like barely have $1,000, so that's not happening. But it was nice, like, storyboarding and dreaming.
Yeah.
And she, you know, also had similar thoughts of like, you know, is there something I can do where there's something where you can have a history of what your transition was, you know, who you are and who you're becoming, and be able to look back, so to speak, at that process of transitioning. And so we started building, really just building out a framework of what it would look like, flow charts, all of these things that are, you know, businessy and, you know, figuring out, you know, where, what would you do? And then about a year and a half ago, we brought on Taylor, as a third co-founder, and, he started building the app. So Taylor is a full stack software engineer. Mm-hmm. So he started building the app. And Taylor and I quit both all of our jobs, all of the things we were doing, and went at it full time. And, you know, we spent a year doing it full time. I have had to take a day job, which is, I'm fine with, because, you know, that's how the world works. And at the end, and so that's like the story of Trace, which is not the question you actually asked me, Alex. You asked, what is it?
That's all good, but sometimes it's good to have the story. So that's the story. And it is an app that records transition, given that it's an acronym for, and God, let's see. No, I cannot remember what it stands for.
Transition. Okay, recording, transition, recording, and community engagement. And so
I see why you went with the acronym.
And so that's what we were trying to think of a name, right? And we were like, oh, there's so many, you know, what do we want to name it? And so the app is two sides. So there's the you and the app side, and then there's the you and the community side. Mm-hmm. And so the you and the app side is, you are documenting your transition and whatever that looks like. And so we've made it very fluid in the ability to, you know, fill in what you need and then have the app do what you need it to do rather than us, you know, we're not here to tell you what transitioning looks like, right? So we're just going to give you all the options and you siphon down to what you need. And so the main features we have is we have a photo tracking where you're able to document and store photos. So, you know, for me, again, I'm just always come from my experience. So for me, like when I was documenting, I was wanted to record my beard growth, my facial structure, my voice changing, you know, just in general what I looked like as a whole, you know what I mean? My fat redistribution, all of those things. Even after top surgery, it was like the before and after and the recovery and what do I look like a week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 months. But the dilemma with trying to remember to take photos.
Yes, absolutely.
You're very gung-ho about it the first week, and then you're like, oh, I missed a week. Oh, I missed 2 weeks. And then you're like, oh, forget it. What's the point? And so Trace has a reminder feature built in so that so if you want to track like your beard growth or your face structure, you would set up a reminder for that album. We would remind you and be like, hey, today's the day. Take your beard photo, right? And this could be for all things. And this is private. This side of the app, you and the app is all private. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to record all different types of things that happen with their body and they get to do so in the privacy of themselves, right? But then the other aspect is I did do a lot of tracking, but I couldn't tell you which phone those photos are on. Yeah. I didn't always have an iPhone. I didn't always pay for Apple Cloud. I just deleted things.
Yeah.
Right? So there's probably like SIM cards somewhere in a dumpster, you know, that have like my transition photos on them, right? Like I've just lost them, right? And so being able to have all of those things in one spot, categorized, clear, understandable, and accessible to you, I think is really awesome, because I think what happens is so often we feel like we're not getting anywhere, but if you can look back and see how far you've come, it really is motivational and reminds you that like, hey, regardless of how long this might be taking or how long it feels, like, I am progressing. And that, you know, that's when you have, you know, it's like capturing those little moments that really matter, those like gender euphoric moments of like, this picture, I just love this picture. This is going into the gender euphoria, like, album, you know, and being able to look back at that photo. It's why when we look at photos of ourselves when we were in high school, or, you know, but whatever that moment is, you're just like, oh, like you're looking at your photo. You're like, oh, I love this photo. It makes me so happy. Right. Like, the thing with being trans, and I'm sure you recognize this, is like those moments for us are really fleeting.
Yes.
They don't last long. You get a, you feel great in the morning, and by the afternoon, you are like, everything sucks.
Yeah. Why did I even do this? I definitely have my moments of like,
Exactly. And so being able to have those moments in one spot where you can go back and relive those moments to remind yourself that being trans can be beautiful, right? It can be hard and shitty. And we have a lot of apps that already remind you of how hard and shitty it is.
Exactly. Right? Like, the world every day, social media reminds us.
Every day. Have a gentle nudge of how crappy it might be. And with Trace, we're just trying to have a counterbalance of like also like, and it's really awesome. And like, look how far you've come and you're doing it. Like, you are becoming the person you know you are. And again, maybe that's tracking your beard growth, but maybe it's not, right? Like maybe that's transitioning medically, but maybe it's not. So outside of the photos, we also have a general reminder, which can remind you to take your binder off. It can remind you to take your tucking garment off. It can remind you to do your HRT. It can remind you to do your estradiol, like whatever medications you're
taking. Dilation exercises, whatever it is that people are doing.
And so it can be set for as often, as frequent. You can have as many reminders as you want. So that's another thing. It could be like, take your vitamins. Like it could be whatever you want, right? And then there's another anniversaries or milestones. So if you have an anniversary, like you're going to get top surgery, or you're getting facial feminization surgery, or you came out, your coming out day, or, you know, the first, whatever anniversary you want to celebrate, we have, you can track them, and we have countdowns to them, right? So like, you know, I think mine is, so my day on, my first day on HRT is October 30th. So I have 35 days until my HRT anniversary. So, so I have it just up there. You know what I mean? On top of my screen, just as a little countdown. And so again, this is the part of the app that's just for you and your transition. That's all it's for. It's just for you to celebrate you. There are aspects of it that you can share with others. So like, Alex, if you and I were, instead of calling them friends on Trace, we call them allies, because we're building a community of support. So if we were allies, I could pick and choose which anniversaries I might want to share with you. So, you know, if we're allies, you get a notification that like on October 30th that like, oh, today's Aiden's HRT anniversary, you should like send him a note, because clearly he wants you to know. That means it's meaningful to him, right? And so that's the one little piece of the tracking that can turn over. But then the other side of the app is pretty much, think of Instagram for trans folks. That's what it is.
Which I love it, because so many trans people do use, I mean, used to be LiveJournal, because I'm old, you know, LiveJournal, Tumblr, Instagram, TikTok, right? What used to be Twitter, whatever it is now, right? To record their journey, because there is this, YouTube, right? This desire to kind of, see the changes, but also we know how much, I don't know about you, but I should talk for myself, but I know how much I got out of other people being more public, right? Oh, that's what I can expect from top surgery. Oh, look at all the, you know, there used to be the, whatever bucket website where you could go and see pictures of folks who had that top surgery and kind of have a, you know, an expectation of this is what it might look like for somebody who's older with a larger chest, all of that. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of sounds like you've taken all of that and put it in an app where you can keep it private, which is really nice because not everybody wants to have that level of visibility on social media, but you can also have a small aspect of connection, but it seems like the main goal is to like having this record for yourself because it's such an important part of people's mm-hmm. lives on often, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, I mean, I would say that it's whatever you want it to be, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you don't document that much, but maybe you mm-hmm. really want community, yeah. right? So we have, you know, we've got DMs, we've got, you know, mm-hmm. your timeline, we've got mm-hmm. a personal only allies feed and then a nice. Public feed. We've mm-hmm. got channels similar to a Slack or a Discord where yeah. you could join a channel of your whatever, mm-hmm. you know, top surgery, whatever, like, you know, Dungeon and Dragons, like it's yeah. whatever, right? So I always say it's like, yes, it's for support, but it's also like post pictures of your puppy, you know, like it's just about yeah. trans life. Like that's it. And the connective tissue is that, you know, there's no other app that you might be able to try out a different name or try out a different pronoun or talk Absolutely. To somebody or post pictures of you in the clothes you want to wear because you don't feel safe, right?
Yeah.
And so this is an app where you could do that. Mm-hmm. And so, and even on the app, like falling in line with the difference between what we have in social and what Trace is trying to do is like, you can't see how many allies another person has. So there's no comparison yeah. that like Alex has 500 and I only have 5, right? And you can't see how many people have commented. There's no number. Now you nice. Can read the comments and like count yeah. if you want, but you
that's can't, a little more laborious.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, there's also no like count. So mm-hmm. as the poster, you can click the like button and see who liked it. But there's no number, so you mm-hmm. can't see that I got 1,000 likes or, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And yeah. you only got 300, right? Yeah. So there's no, in that way, we're trying to be very intentional of being like, there's no particular body that should be mm-hmm. highlighted more than another. And yeah. that's it. Like, we're not, there's no AI algorithm that's boosting,
yeah.
you know, top people. You know, I always say that like, if influencers want to go on Trace, that's amazing, but this isn't a place that you're going to like be, you know, getting brand deals and like that's not what this is about. This is a community of support around trans and non-binary folks. And we do welcome allies because I think a lot of people, like my wife is queer, but she's not trans, mm-hmm. but she's so in the trans world. It's like, but there's no letter in the acronym for her. There's, you know, like when she goes and talks to other, you know, lesbian, gay couples, it is slightly different, or cisgender yeah. couples, it is different. Like, so, you know, having her be able to be a part of it and have other, find other cisgender people, mm-hmm. similar situations, right? So many people are like, I want to be a better ally. And it's like, well, Trace can help you do that because you can mm-hmm. spend time every day going and supporting trans folks. You can yeah. build friendships with them. You'll know when to celebrate them because they will call you in to mm-hmm. an anniversary or to, they'll post a picture, you know? And so mm-hmm. I, you know, we hope that it will be a place where there's community for those who need it, and tracking for those who need it. And yeah. And so that's, you know, we've got over 10,000 users. So we're mm-hmm. growing and,
yeah.
It's been really awesome to see, grow. It's still such a little infant, you know?
I know, but hey, 10,000 users is a pretty good number if you think about all the trans folks that are in there. They're really benefiting and they're benefiting from the connection. But I really love how thoughtful you've been, right? With like, let's not have a count for likes. Let's not, because we know that's a big piece of social media, especially with younger people feeling like, does anybody care about me? Or maybe my journey is different because of different intersectionalities. Mm-hmm. And so I don't feel, so I think that's really thoughtful. And it's, I love the idea of people being able to record their journey, because I know how many people do that. And like you said, though, then they're like, oh, I was going to record my voice every week and I forgot to do it, right? Or whatever people, you know, for trans folks, folks, or I was going to see my healing from facial feminization surgery or, whichever language, because also language has evolved so much in the last 20 years, people want to use for that. And it sounds like there's a lot of flexibility. One of the discourses I've heard online is at a time, and I feel like this discourse very much started also when we started having the X on documentation as well, you know, for non-binary folks. So it's not just about trace. Right now, it's such a, there's such a rise of, fascist anti-transphobic sentiment, right? Both in the North America and including the US, in the UK, and lots of, in Italy too, where I'm from originally, kind of it feels very global at the moment, sadly. And, you know, trace could, has been seen by some people as, why would we have a place where people could find us as trans folks, right? Where people could find us, learn about us, especially those folks who are most vulnerable, like young people, could increase their risk. So yeah, what would you say to those concerns of like, oh, do we really want to have a place where people can find all this data that could be weaponized, against us in a court of law in some states? Yeah. So I hope that makes sense. And I'm wondering, yeah, if you thought about that, which I'm sure you have, because it sounds like there's been so much thoughtfulness going into this.
Yeah. It's definitely something we've thought of and something that we have addressed and will continue to address as things go. And I think, you know, to answer plain and simple, like why do we have a place where people would come together, right? It's why we have LGBT centers. Yeah. It's why we have Pride Month. It's why we have parades, because we need each other.
Yeah.
And if we don't gather, we will not become stronger, right? Yeah. But the truth is, does that put us more vulnerable? Like, yeah, I mean, if you know a bunch of queer people are gathering, then you have, you know, you are putting yourself in a more vulnerable space than if you were to not do so, right? Yeah. And there are protections that we take on the back end. And that includes, you know, we just finished our penetration testing, which means we've had people come in and try to hack in, so to speak. And we've paid a third party to do that. And we passed that. So that was amazing.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We also use a secondary platform, meaning we are building it on another, another platform in which you then go and build apps on. So that puts us a second barrier. So not only do we do our penetration tests, but then that company has their own tests and securities. So it's kind of like you have to break in to break in, right? And then also we do our best. We do not geolocate. So I actually, you know, in the back end, we don't collect, we collect as minimum data as needed, right? So we literally only collect the things that we legally would need to be able to collect for our own safety. So for me to, like, you know, if there was someone on there, for us to block someone and then block their any additional addresses they try to put in, we have the ability to do so, right? And so with that, it's like, if we got a subpoena from Florida, like we do not know who our Florida residents are. We do not know. You know what I mean? Now, people who put in the app that if they join the Florida channel, if they put their tag as Florida, right? But that's also not means to, right? That doesn't necessarily mean they live there. It's also something that we're allowing the users to put in that data if they want to. First name, last name, not required. You don't have to. You can use an alias. Like, we are very, you know, we want people to know that we are doing our best and working very diligently and hard to keep you safe. And if that still doesn't feel safe enough to you, that's okay. Right? Like, and what we will say is that a lot of the social medias that a lot of people are using right now are not keeping you safe. And they are not putting trans people first. And like, some people, I'm just like, Instagram knows that you're at an ice cream parlor right now.
Oh my God. Instagram knows everything. Honestly, our phones know everything we're talking about, because you talk about something, you know, and then you start seeing, I talk about attachment a lot as a therapist, and I start seeing all these videos about attachment in my Instagram.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever theory you may have, right? We all have our own theories. Like,
yes.
The one thing that I can say is that we are a community on Trace, and we have many different ways to report people. You must be verified in order to enter. And we really use like a community approach. The amount of ways you can report someone, and we get notified the minute someone gets reported, and we really rely on that inner community, you know, kind of like a neighborhood watch feel.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you see something, you report it. And we really try to push that. Like you can't not, there's no such thing as over reporting. Mm-hmm. Just report it and we'll look into it and we'll get to the bottom and then we take the action necessary. And I think that one of the things that deters a lot of people who don't like us to join is that we made it. Like this is our app first. You know what I mean? And so there is, you go on the app, there are no other people to join in on the hatred. People like you misgender and someone's going to be like, that's messed up. Like, who are you? Like, I'm reporting you. Like, what are you doing?
Why are you doing
here?
This?
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's not a place, you know, it's not a safe place for anti-trans people. Like, you know, just plain and simple. Like, it is not safe for them to attend. You know what I mean? Because they're not who it's made for. And I feel like they know that. They can go to X. They can go to these other platforms and they can find the rally of people who want to hate on us and feel really supported. And you can't do that here. So, so again, you know, always open for feedback and thoughts from people. You can email me Aiden@thetrace.app. You can DM us, always open for feedback and also just always trying to do our best to keep our people safe. And you know, like, this is for us. So
I love that. And in a way, it comes kind of back full circle to where we started the conversation, right? In terms of how do we find spaces that are like by us, for us, the mutual support, the mutual aid that I think trans community has always been really good at. You know, it's like if we want something, we often have to build it for ourselves, especially if we want it to center us, because let's face it, I love a good ally, and most allies, unless they're real deep into the community, be very hard-pressed to create something that centers kind of our experiences and our interests. And and people have always looked for each other, right? Whether it was LiveJournal or Tumblr or Instagram, I feel like, or like the community center, right? Trans folks look for each other because even though we have different experiences, we need that mutuality, that interdependence, that support, that, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one who has like conflicting feelings some days or like, you know, and I'm like, you know, even as a trans therapist, when I have trans clients are like, oh, I'm like, it's okay. You get to be anxious about medical interventions. You get to, you don't have to be the poster child of what it means to be trans, right?
Right.
That's such a weight to carry. Like you can just put it down for a minute.
Right.
And it sounds like Trace is somewhere where people can also do that, right? Because it's kind of centering the community. And that's beautiful.
Thank you.
I feel like I want to ask you another like 20 questions, but I want to be respectful of our time because, we both have day jobs, you know, yay, surviving under capitalism. So instead, I'm just going to ask you the question I always ask at the end of the Gender Stories interview, which is there anything that you are hoping to talk about or to say that I have not asked you about or that we haven't talked about? Like anything that you want to make sure gets covered?
I mean, no, you've asked all questions about the stuff I'm doing. So I think that that's, you know, mostly all I can ask for when, you know, trying to let people know about Point of Pride and Trace. And so I'll do a little plug. And so anybody who is looking to donate, or also if you don't have funds, but you want to give of your time, you can become a community grant fellow, which is somebody who helps us, at Point of Pride go over applications. And so you have to be trans or non-binary identified, but we're always looking for CGFs, as we call them. Mm-hmm. There's some perks too in there. So you can either donate or sign up, or if you're in need of, we've got 5 different programs. You can go to pointofpride.org. And that's spelled P-O-I-N-T, pointofpride.org. If you want to download the app, you can search me. We can become allies. That's on iOS and Android. Just search Trace. We don't use any Pride colors. It's just a purple triangle. Mm-hmm. So just for like safety, so people aren't like, what's this like trans flag or whatever. So, so you can download that and search me and we must be allies. And then I think like, you know, I'll ask a question to you as my last request.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. Alex, I'm really curious. Like as like we first started before we started recording, you're like, oh, you know, like everyone is like always so much younger than me. Right. But it also sounds like you are like an elder in the sense that you did begin your gender journey years ago and not like older in life. Like you've just been, you know, a part of the community for all of these years. What do you think is like your favorite thing that has changed from, let's just go back to like when you got your top surgery, right? You were like, oh my top, like, what do you think has been really awesome that you've seen change between, you said it was 2010, is that what you said?
Yeah, it was 2010.
Yeah, so like in the last, you know, 13 going on 14 years, like what's something that has made you feel really good, like about the community?
Well, what a great question. Oh, I might need a moment to think about it. But so many things, you know, and it's interesting because compared to some people, I did come out as trans later in life, as in I was an adult, you know, and I work with kids who know who they are, which is amazing. And I think that's one of the things that's changed. There's actually the level of visibility I know can feel heavy on our shoulders sometimes, you know, but to see young people come in with such knowledge and confidence in who they are because they have so many different role models, they have access to age-appropriate information, whether it's on TikTok or on YouTube, they have access to language, they have access to support. I mean, I know they also often experience bullying or harassment online, but there is also like an increased level of support. And I think it's important to remember that even with this rise of anti-trans sentiment, the scales have tipped. I feel like you would be hard pressed to find a person who has never at least seen a trans person on TV nowadays. And 13 years ago, that was not the case. I mean, to see Shangela on Dancing with the Star on Disney Plus, I mean, I want to cry just thinking about that, right? I'm watching Dancing with the Star with my kids, and there's Shangela, you know, or interview Sage Cotugno, worked on Owl House and has got a, you know, a graphic novel coming out as a non-binary person who does animation. Just the level of queer content that young people, including children, have access to is incredible. And so for me, that's what brings me joy. It's the, yes, often I've been the only trans person in the room. I've used outdated language that we don't use anymore to talk about our identities. And sometimes young people can look at me like, you're like a trans grandpa. And I'm like, yeah. And hopefully I've also learned why I moved with the time, you know, and I think that's, I'm like, yes, I want to be obsolete. You know, my friend Colleen, who's unfortunately an ancestor now, said, I want to be the kind of ancestor that people look at and goes, oh, how did you think that was radical, right? Because we've come so far. And sometimes I feel that way. When I feel a little teeny-weeny bit irritated with young people, I go, no, this is great. This is what we fought for, right? This is what we fought so hard for. Right. Yes, demand more, want more. Want more of us as older people. Elder is such a hard word to claim, but people have called me that. But I think that's my answer. I don't know if it answers your question, but there you go.
No, it's great. It's great. And I relate to that. Like, so I came out in 2009, so I'm going on 14 years.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, every now and then I'm just like, I hear a word and I'm just like, all right, okay, this is what we're doing now. All right, let's do this. Yep. Like, and I'm like, I don't get it. Like, I feel like an old man. I'm 36, not that old, but like, I'm like, I don't fully understand, but if that's what you say, all right, I will learn. I will learn what the hell you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, this gender expansiveness is so beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, yeah, let it grow. Let it expand.
Sometimes I like go to Pride, I see a flag. I'm like, I don't even know what flag that is, but you wave that flag. You get it. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm with you. I'm like, I have to have like a little cheat sheet. Yeah. When I teach, I'm like, I'm not going to remember all the flags. And I'm sorry, but there are a lot.
Yeah, right, right. We will learn. We will learn. But thank you, Alex, for having me. I've appreciated the conversation and, your kindness and your time. So,
thank you so much. I really love this conversation. Thank you for all you're doing with Point of Pride and with Trace. And those links are also going to be in the episode description for your listeners. And so thank you so much, Hayden. Loved our time together. And Gender Stories listeners and watchers now, if you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time.